So we're looking at this verse specifically from the Srimad Bhagavatam, as Srila Prabhupada mentions. And specifically it's referring to three aspects of the absolute truth. The three aspects of the absolute truth. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And you'll find this always within society, that when we speak of God, that our individuals may have different names for God, but they fit into these three categories in whatever religion they're coming from, whatever background they're coming from. Brahman is the first aspect of understanding the absolute truth. And what is Brahman? As described here, it means the all-pervading energy of God, or the effulgence which is coming from God. Or on the street level, you might just hear the word great force. I don't believe in God, but there's a force out there. There's a great force out there. And in fact, in the UK, one of the growing religions which they have registered is this religion of the great force. Anyone know that religion? Jedi Knights. Jedi Knights. Star Wars. It originated in the 60s with Star Wars, whenever it started. The Jedi Knights. It's a growing religion. People actually believe that's their religion. It's a growing religion. Why? Because it's talking about Jedi Knights are the good people, and they're fighting all the evil forces, and they believe in what's known as the Great Force. Hence, may the Force be with you. And what they're really referring to is, may God be with you, or as we say, Brahman, the glowing effulgence from God. So we'll keep up to date if they win the election, maybe one day or something. They're also a political party, I think, now. Jedi Knights. The Jedi Knights. Very nice people, I'm sure. The all-pervading energy is another word you might hear. All-pervading energy. That people may believe that there is something out there, and it's all-pervading in its energy. And you get that in nowadays. We're just at the yoga show right now, this weekend. And it's full of all the individuals who believe in the alternative, that we're not atheists, we believe something's out there, and it's the all-pervading energy. You know, whether it's through Reiki, whether it's through healing, they believe something is there that helps people heal. And they call it the all-pervading energy, but the Sanskrit word is Brahman. The effulgence that's coming from God. Or you might hear the word God is love. Isn't it? On the street, you'll see God is, yeah, what is it? I don't know what it is, but it's love. And they're referring to this all-pervading love that exists, or it's at least supposed to exist in society. Or they call it the oneness. There's the oneness somewhere. And this is the Brahman feature that's being referred to in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Supreme, eternal. And ultimately you get to the principle of the white light, which is a very common phenomenon. You'll hear that God is a light, white light. Something is there. And yes, it's true, because the Brahman effulgence, what is it? It's the effulgence which is permeating not just the spiritual world, but the material world as well. It's the glow, the effulgence of God. And definitely it's the white light. And people, obviously, in this verse, Srila Prabhupada is speaking on it, of how the impersonalists, they want to merge into God, or they want to at least join this Brahma Jyoti, or become one with it. And through yoga, this is the destination that a lot of individuals choose to have. They want to leave this world, and they want to merge into the oneness, or they want to merge into God, or they want to merge into the Brahma Jyoti. And why, we might ask this question, why do people want to lose all identity that they have and just become one. Because one of the most traumatic experiences that people have in this world, the greatest difficulty that people have in this world, is relationships. What are the difficulties, or where are all the difficulties that you have coming from? It's relationships. Whether it's husband-wife, whether it's friend, whether it's your family, whether it's your company, it's individuals. So people think, I've had enough of individuals. That's what all my problems are in life. So if I went to a place where there were no individuals and I just became one with everything, that would be the best. Because I don't have to interact with anyone. And if I don't interact with anyone, there'll be no pain. This is their principle. If I can do that. So this is the Brahman effulgence. Then that's why people want to merge into this oneness to get rid of their pain. Because the material world is very painful. Adi Atmika, Adi Devika, Adi Bhautika. These are the difficulties that we face in this world. Adi Atmika refers to our own mind, our own senses, our own body gives us difficulties. And if we're okay, Adi Bhautika, other people are giving us hell. Whether it's our relationships, whether it's our boss, whether it's our friends, whether it's our dog, whatever it is, they're giving us hell. And if it's none of those, Adi Daivika. Material nature is giving us hell. Whether we've come out to the manor on a sunny day, we hope, but it's raining. The only holiday we had in the year was 2 weeks, and we went to Mallorca and they had a tsunami there. We want to get away from life. And as you're driving to the airport, the billboards are, fly to New York and be happy. Isn't it? We see the billboards, fly to New York. And when we arrive in New York, as we're leaving New York airport, all the billboards are saying, see London, the greatest place. So we think a change of scenery might help us to, but it doesn't in reality. What is this Brahman effulgence? Brahma Samhita speaks of it. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagaranda koti. Kotesha shesha vasudati vibhuti binnam. Tad brahma nishkalam ananta shesha bhutam. Govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. What is this light that they're all seeking? That everyone's looking for in life, this force, it is the effulgence that's coming from Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagaranda Koti. The effulgence that's emanating from the body of the Supreme Lord. Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. But it's coming from a person, the personality of Godhead. The Isha Upanishad also speaks of this effulgence. What is this effulgence? Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukam tattvam pusham apavrinu satya dharmaya drishtide. That my dear Lord, this is the Upanishad speaking, because a lot of people will quote the Upanishads that God is impersonal, he cannot be a person, so the Upanishads are speaking. Hiranmayena patrena. And the speaker of the Upanishad, Isha Upanishad, is saying, my dear Lord, please remove the effulgence which is covering your face so that I can see the real you. I can see the personality of Godhead. Because your effulgence is hiding who you really are. So this is from the Isha Upanishad. And of course in the Gita, that principle is also there. When Arjuna was shown the universal form, which is part of the impersonal aspect of God, he said to Krishna, Param Brahma Param Dama Pavitram Paramam Bhavam Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adidevam. These are all Shastric verses, because when you're speaking to impersonalists, you have to quote so many verses. They'll quote from specifically Vedanta. So here Arjuna is saying, but you are the Param Brahma. This Brahman effulgence is you. It's coming from you. But it's a lesser aspect of you. And what happens in the Brahma Jyoti, when you do join it, you know, because there are different realizations of Godhead, Sat, Chit and Ananda. Sat refers to the eternal aspect. So they just want to eternally remain there as a spiritual spark without a spiritual body. You can only have a spiritual body if you want to serve. So you don't want to serve, so you're a spiritual spark in the Brahmajyoti. And you cannot remain there forever because, as they say, no man is an island. After a while, it gets a bit boring. A bit like university, you know. After a while, you think, it's all too much. It's getting a bit boring here. So the Brahmajyoti, individuals are getting a bit bored there because there is no activity. So the Srimad Bhagavatam speaks on this. Aruchikrachena parampatam patantiyada nadita jushmadangriya. That you cannot remain there. It's not possible. And you fall back down to the material realm again. So although you try to leverage your way up, still, it was not possible. You come down again from the Brahmajyoti. When Srila Prabhupada was in Amritsar, and he was at a conference. Conference is not like small conference. It's Amritsar, so you know, you're talking about 100,000 people are gathered on the plains of the Punjab there. And all the speakers who were speaking were all from the impersonalist school of thought. And they had a whole variety of lectures that were going on. But every one of them was that we're all one. There's no difference between you and us and you and me and God. We're all one. We're all together. So Prabhupada didn't even want to speak there. He said, they're all impersonalists. We cannot speak this. So he sent Gurudas to speak. And when Gurudas arrived, he was fresh out of, you know, as they said, the American school. So he said to the audience and the whole array of impersonalists who were sitting there, he said, you're all saying we're one. Jai Shri Radha Gokula Nandaki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanaki, Sisi Gaura Nithaiki. You're all saying we're one. So if everything is one, he said, this rasgulla is the same as the stool in the street. So you're eating rasgulla, will you be eating the stool in the street? Because it is the same. It's a very strong statement he made there. And all the organizers got upset. And they started, they said, you cannot speak like this. And then they took Gurudas to see Srila Prabhupada. And they said to Srila Prabhupada, your disciple has no manners. He's telling the audience that the rasgulla and the stool, they are one. Why are you not eating if it's one? If we're all one, then should be no difference between rasgulla and the stool on the street. And Prabhupada said, my American disciples are a bit graphical in their examples. But he said, don't worry, I will speak to him. I will speak to him. So the organizers left, they were happy, and Prabhupada said to him, what was that example? He said, Gurudas said, stool in the street and rasgulla. And Prabhupada said, very good example. Today is also the appearance day of Ramanujacharya. Is that appearance? Appearance day. Today is the appearance day of Ramanujacharya, which is very significant because he, of course, Vashishtha Dvaita, he fought the impersonalist throughout India to prove that impersonal is one aspect of God. It's not the complete feature of God. We're not saying that the impersonalists are wrong. We're not saying that. We're saying it's one aspect of God as described here. So Ramanujacharya, of course, was a great advocate of Vashishtha Dvaita, that we are one and non-different from God. We're one in quality, but we are different in quantity. Just like the ocean, the salt water, if you take a drop, it has the same qualities as the ocean, but the drop is incomparable to the ocean. It's still the ocean. You can't say that drop is the ocean. It's a sample of the ocean. So similarly, Ramanujacharya's principle was that. And one of his teachers was Yadava Prakash, who was an impersonalist. And the whole story is there. Yadava Prakash was very upset because he was from the other school of thought and he was always defeating him. So Yadava Prakash, hundreds of stories. So Yadava Prakash at one time was called by the king of Kanchi. Kanchipura. This is a place in South India, a very famous place. And the king's daughter, the princess of Kanchi, was possessed by a ghost. Possessed by a ghost. So it happens often. It's just sometimes we don't know it. We think people have gone mad. So in India, they know this man is possessed by a ghost. So he, Yadava Prakash was very famous because he could exorcise ghosts. Because he was an impersonalist, so he knew a variety of mantras. He was coming from the Sankara school of thought. And he was very, very successful. So he was called to exorcise this ghost within the body of the princess. And he chanted a variety of things and he did a variety of fire ceremonies and yajnas, and the ghost would not leave. So then the ghost started speaking to Yadava Prakash. As often is the case, when someone is possessed, they speak in a different voice. So the ghost was speaking in a man's voice and started to speak to Yadava Prakash and said that because you are not pure enough, I will not leave this body. So the king was wondering, what's going on here? Yadava Prakash is meant to be the head and he's meant to be in charge of everything, and this ghost is saying he's not pure enough. He said, I will only leave this body if your disciple Ramanuja comes. So they had no choice. They had to call Ramanuja. He was a young boy of 18. He came and Ramanuja recited some prayers, and then the ghost spoke through the body of the princess, of course, and said that until you place your feet upon my head, I will not leave. So Ramanujacharya, of course, placed his feet upon the head of the princess, of course. And the ghost said that you will see that I will leave because the top branch of the bamboo will snap in this tree when I leave. So when he placed his feet on the head of the princess, the bamboo snapped. And the princess became conscious. And she didn't know she was possessed all this time. And she ran away. She said, my God, I was possessed. So of course, Yadava Prakash was extremely upset. Because he was from the impersonalist school of thought. And the ghost had proven that you have no devotion to the personality of Godhead. And I can only be delivered if a pure devotee places their feet on my head. So the ghost became delivered by Ramanujacharya, whose appearance today it is today. So Brahmeti, this is one aspect of the personality of Godhead. The other feature which is mentioned in our verse today is Paramatmeti, that the yogis are aspiring to obtain the Brahma Jyoti, and other yogis who've understood that the Absolute is not impersonal, it is a person, they meditate upon God within the heart, which is called Paramatmeti. Krishna expands into every heart, into every atom, which is known as the Paramatma, the Super Soul. And on the street, you might hear it as, just as we on the street we were hearing about the great force, the Paramatma. Again, on the street, when you meet someone, they'll speak about conscience or the inner voice. You might hear that sometimes. Your conscience is telling you this is wrong. Or an inner voice. Hopefully, it is the inner voice. It's not something else. You have to be careful here. The inner voice is telling you, don't steal that. Don't smoke that. If the inner voice is telling you, kill everyone, it's not the inner voice, it's you. So there's a distinction. The inner voice is the Paramatma, God within each one of us, guiding us. And what's the function of the Paramatma? It has two functions. Upadarashta anumantascha. So God within each one of us does two things. Upadarashta means the witness. He's witnessing every one of our activities. And that's why often they say you can hide from everyone, but you can't hide from God. How? Because God's within you. Not just looking at all your activities, but He can see all your thoughts as well. He's someone who acknowledges your thoughts as well. That's why another name for Krishna is called Bhava Grahi Janadana. That Krishna, He appreciates the sentiment rather than the activity. So sometimes you may just have the sentiment to do something good. And Krishna appreciates that. You may want to serve Him, but your circumstances do not allow you to serve Him right now. So just for that, Krishna appreciates and reciprocates and gives results. Bhava Grahi Janadana. So Upadrashta is the witness. And Anumantascha is the permitter. Whatever activities we want to perform, I want to lift my hand, it cannot happen without the sanction of the Paramatma. And often, philosophers, Descartes, others, had this difficulty in trying to understand how is it that spirit and matter can touch. Okay, I might be spirit, but how is it connecting with matter? Because it's like oil and water, how do they mix? So we say through the medium of the Paramatma. They interact through the medium of the Paramatma. Otherwise they cannot interact. But still, this yoga, it's not an easy affair either. Yoga is a general term nowadays used for everything. And a lot of people are probably practicing yoga for health. Health. And that's good, because a derivative of yoga is health. But it's not the goal of yoga. It's a derivative of yoga. If you practice it, your health will definitely get better. Pranayams, asanas, these are all very scientific. And many of us practice them most mornings. Very good exercise. Of course, if you just come to our workouts in the morning, they're better than anything else. Better than the gym. Better than pranayam. They every morning 7 to 7:30, like the kirtans we had this morning. It's a good workout. It's a good workout. Definitely, you don't need to go anywhere else. But yoga, of course, is not an easy aspect. Krishna describes in the 6th chapter what do you need to do to be a yogi. First of all, sitting on a tiger skin, kusha grass, a variety of things are given. Staring at the tip of the nose. Abstaining from eating, and of course one of the principles of yoga is abstaining from any sex desires. If you really want to practice yoga, and you want to get to the Paramatma, you want to go to the spiritual realm, tall order is being asked by Krishna in the Gita. Once there was a yogi who was in the Himalayas, and he was practicing yoga. And when he started off, he thought, this is very good, I want to really achieve this. And by meditating, by abstaining, by keeping away from everyone, if I just simply sit in meditation and meditate upon God within the heart, I'll obtain Him. After 10 years of doing this, he became a bit bored. And he thought, maybe what is the goal of life? So he decided, let me go down the mountain. I can't carry on with this. It's too difficult. So after 10 years, his determination broke. And he started walking down the mountain. As he was walking down the mountain, he met a man. And this man was cutting a copper pipe with a silk thread. He had a silk thread and he was rubbing it against the copper pipe. So the yogi said, what are you doing? He said, I'm cutting this copper pipe. This metal. He said, but you're using a silk thread. He said, I know. He said, that will take a very long time. He said, I know, but I know I'll get there one day. So the yogi thought to himself, even this man who's nothing has great determination. Let me go back for another 10 years. So he went up again to the mountains and he started doing his dhyan for 10 years. And after 10 years, he said, this is too much. I can't do this anymore. No taste. Aruchi krachena parampatam. It's no taste in it. So he again ran down the mountain. And as he was running down the mountain, he saw a mouse. And this mouse was trying to get into a hole in the mountain, but the hole was blocked by a large piece of stone. And the mouse was chewing away at the stone to get into the hole. And he looked at this and he said, wait a minute. Even the animals are better than me. This mouse has got more determination than me. Look, he's trying to get into that hole. He says, another 10 years. He went up the mountain again. Sat there for 10 years. 30 years now gone. And he said, this is too much. I'm not getting anywhere. This time I'm definitely giving up. So he finally left, walked all the way down. He came to the village. And when he arrived at the village, he saw a dog. An Indian dog. So a little different. Indian dogs are not generally pets. So this dog had enough as well. And usually they're lying on the ground, if you remember. And usually they've got a variety of diseases as well to go with it. So he really felt for great compassion for this dog. So he thought, at least there's someone else who's equally suffering like me in this world. So he got some water and he gave it to the dog. And the dog, by doing this, what he had achieved in 30 years happened to him. Something that had never happened to him in 30 years happened to him at that moment when he gave that dog some water. His heart immediately changed and he felt within his heart great joy, which he'd never felt for 30 years at the top of the Himalayas, trying to reach God. And that change was, for the 30 years he was just thinking about himself. Me, me, me. I've got to get out of this world. I've got to do something. But after 30 years, he had compassion on the dog. And that compassion began for him another journey. And that's the journey of devotion. And this yogi then realized that by giving what I have to others, there's greater joy than in trying to become someone or being selfish. So from selfish, he went to selfless. So this yogi, ultimately, of course, realized that Bhagwan iti shabdyate. And the final aspect of the personality of Godhead is Bhagwan. And as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that Bhagwan automatically contains Brahman and Paramatma. The personality of Godhead already has within him the effulgence of the light and God within as the localized feature. They're all included within the feature of Bhagwan. And a definition which is given of Bhagwan by Parshuram Muni is that person, Bhagavan. Van refers to full of, and Bhaga means opulences. One who is full in six opulences. One who's full in six opulences. This is the definition of God. One of the definitions that's given. And those six opulences are referred to as Aishwarya, Virya, Yasha, Shriya, Jnana, and Vairagya. These are the six opulences that are possessed in full by God. And each one of us has a portion of that. Small percentage of these opulences. First and foremost, it's Aishwarya, which means, anyone? Wealth. Wealth. Wealth, isn't it? It's the one thing everyone's looking for in this world. Wealth. And thanks to Camelot, our local lottery providers, every year 200 millionaires are made in the UK. And they've been going on for a long time. Isn't it? The advert was, it could be you. Impossible, practically. There's more chances of you being hit by lightning than winning the lottery. But it could be you. People are giving everyone some hope. It could be you. And hence at the temple, there's on Saturdays evenings and Wednesday evening, there's a lot of people who come and pray nowadays. That's when the lottery is. Wednesdays and Saturdays. And in speaking to these individuals, often you know they're praying, and you said, "What's happening?" Well, they say, "You know, I'm praying to God. God, I know I'm a sinner, but make me a winner." So people are hoping that somehow, you know, their fortunes will change. But how much wealth can you really have, isn't it? God is the absolute. He is Lakshmi Narayan. He has all the wealth in the world. Virya, strength. Virya is referring to strength. What's the strongest man in the world? Who? There's a variety of them, probably. The Guinness Book of Records has still, to date, Muhammad Ali is the strongest man, because they refer to boxing as the sport which measures strength. So they say Muhammad Ali had won more fights, so he holds the record on that. The strongest man in the world. And what was his motto at the end of his fight? Everyone remember? I am the greatest! And when they opened the Olympics last time, if you remember, because he's the strongest man in the world, they asked him to light the flame. And when he arrived, if you remember, he couldn't hold the torch. Why? He has Parkinson's disease. He cannot hold the torch. So in an interview he gave after that, he said, "I always used to say, I am the greatest." He said, "But I have realized I am the greatest fool. Because I realized that there is someone greater. And that's God. That's God." Of course, what was it? Bhakti Tirtha Swami met him and had a long conversation, if you remember. Because, you know, he turned to Islam, a variety of things, and Bhakti Tirtha Swami had such a long conversation about, and he read the Gita, and he spoke about the Gita to Muhammad Ali, and he really loved it. Maybe that's what changed his mind. He came to that conclusion. Aishwarya Virya, Yasha. Yasha means fame. And, you know, who's the most famous person around nowadays? Bill Gates, probably on the rich part, I think, not famous. Who? Michael Jackson could be, yes. A variety of people, you're all right. I was thinking of, why, for this example, Tiger Woods. You may be very famous, but, you know, in a moment you can be brought down. In a moment you can be brought down. And you can't wear the Nike hat anymore either, you know. He was, he had a contract with, his total earnings were something astronomical, I think, highest paid sportsman in the world. And for every day that he would wear the Nike hat, he would get $50,000 a day. Just had to wear it in public, don't have to wear it at home. So even on Sundays, he'll be wearing the hat. And when he went to Taiwan, there was a huge protest. Because everyone who was there, they were protesting that you are getting $50,000 a day to wear a hat, and we are getting paid $1 a day to make the hat. So such disparity of wealth. Such disparity of wealth. Shriya, beauty. Any famous examples? He said, Aishwarya Rai, yes? Hundreds of them. All the memories are coming back. Whatever it is, there are hundreds of them. But the problem with beauty is it doesn't stay long. It doesn't stay long with us. The Miss World of, you know, 1980, you don't hear about them anymore. In fact, the Miss World of 3 years ago, you don't hear about them anymore. Because beauty doesn't stay that long. And one of the most famous actresses, Brigitte Bardot, when she became old and she was filming on a film set. And for the first time in her life, she noticed a wrinkle on her face. She was so shocked that she left the film set. In fact, she disappeared altogether, not to be seen in public. She could not face the fact that old age was coming. No longer can you be beautiful. But God has all beauty. Kandarpa kuti kamaniya visheja shobham. All the cupids of this world are attracted to God. Jnana, knowledge. God is fully known knowledge. We may have some knowledge, but God is supreme in all knowledge. The inventor of the light bulb, Edison, when he invented the light bulb, if you remember, he got it wrong 1,000 times. So he said, my lesson was, when they asked him, you know, he'd call everyone over and they'd test it, and the reporters say, oh, it didn't work. So he said, what's your lesson? He said, I've realized that there are 1,000 ways the light bulb doesn't work. But there must be a way that it does work. So he got it right anyway, in due course of time. But although he was very, very knowledgeable, he was so scared as well, because he'd invented the DC current. And in due course, the AC current was invented, which was a better current. And he was trying to stop it from being marketed or shown, because his invention wouldn't be so good. And finally, renunciation, vairagya. People, God is the supreme in renunciation. We may have some renunciation. We may give up eating for a day or something or whatever it is. We may maybe renounce at some stage. But God is the supreme renunciate. Wasn't it Howard Hughes, who was the richest man in the world, decided to live like a tramp? Whether it was in New York, whether it was in London. And he died in that way as well, because he wanted to renounce everything. He said, "This, I have everything in the world. It hasn't made me happy. Let me renounce everything." But that didn't make him happy either. Didn't make him happy as well. So God, he is Bhagawan iti shabdyate. He's full in these 6 opulences, according to Parashuram Muni. And there are a variety of examples that are given about Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, and Bhagawan. And Prabhupada gives a variety of these examples. And specifically, the example is there of the train in India. When the train was first started off in India, all the villagers didn't know what a train was. And this is an example of Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, and Bhagawan, the 3 features of God. So some villagers would arrive to see the train, but they would hear the noise of the engine, and they would see the smoke from a distance. But they couldn't wait for days for the train to arrive. So they went back to the villagers. And when the villagers asked them, did you see the train? They said, yes. Well, what is it like? Well, it's smoke. And we saw some light in the distance. And we heard a noise. And that's what a train is. So that's true. But that's one aspect of the train. Brahmeti. One aspect of the train. Some villagers waited a bit more. And the train, they saw in a distance. They saw the smoke, they saw the engine, they saw the bogies being pulled. They didn't wait either. They went back to their villages and they were asked, did you see the train? Yeah, it's an engine, it's got carriages and there's smoke. That is the train as well. Paramatmeti. But the villagers that waited right to the end, they saw the train pull into the station. They saw that there's a driver. They met the driver. They saw the passengers get off. Bhagawan iti shabdite. God full in his features. So the train is all of those things, but ultimately, when you actually meet the driver and you see the complete train, you realize this is the train. And Prabhupada gives the example of the sun as well. That you see the effulgence from the sun when you're even sitting in this room, the light is coming through. That's the effulgence of the sun. So that's Brahmeti. And if you go out and you see the sun, hopefully not with your eyes fully, and you see the sun globe, Paramatmeti. But according to the Vedic literatures, there is a personality within the sun planet, Vivishvan, the sun god. And if you meet him, Bhagawan iti shabdyate, the personality who is overseeing the sun. And Prabhupada also speaks about the mountain. You see it from a distance, you see haziness of a mountain. If you get closer, you see the trees, but if you get onto the mountain, you see the birds on the tree. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagawan iti shabdite. So very, 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 very good examples. And our principle of Bhagawan, of course, is the principle that Krishna is the personality of Godhead. And he's available to each one of us, as Prabhupada says in the purport, through his name. Through his name, Krishna is available to all of us. And that is an interesting principle. Because we, the name of God is a very, very important principle, because we say that God and His name are non-different. And Bhagawan is a very, very important principle as well. That we see the personality of God, and as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, that that is God, that's Krishna. And He's available to you. And Krishna and His name is available to you 24 hours a day. And that's God as well. And He's non-different from Bhagawan. There's a nice story of one of our devotees who joined and became purified by the name of God. Whenever he was in Amsterdam, he was Dutch, so whenever he was in Amsterdam, he would see the devotees chanting on Harinam, like we have in London every day. So whenever he would see them chanting on Harinam, he would cross the road to avoid them. Because he said, I'm not going to be connected to those crazy guys. And he would cross the road. And you know, we may have even done that in our life. When we saw the Harinam party coming, we thought, wait a minute, I'm crossing the road. You know, you don't want to be harassed or seen or whatever it is. So he crossed the road. But in the city of Amsterdam, in due course of time, he was clubbing, because Amsterdam is the city of clubbing. And in due course, he met at the nightclub a girlfriend. So they decided not to get married, but they lived together. And he had to look after the girlfriend's dog. And the girlfriend's dog, she had been to India, and she'd read books on India. So the girlfriend had named her dog after the Indian philosopher Krishnamurti. Krishna Maturmurti, so she'd named him Krishnamurti. So this dog one day, one evening, had run off onto the streets of Amsterdam. So of course, he was subservient to his girlfriend. He said, where's the dog? He said, well, it's run off. She said, well, you'll have to find him. So he ran in the streets of Amsterdam. Now, what does he do to find that dog? He said, the dog's name is Krishna. So he is running through the streets of Amsterdam shouting, Krishna! Krishna! And he was doing that for hours and hours, and finally he found the dog. So because he had chanted Krishna's name, and Krishna's name purifies us, the next time he saw the devotees on the streets, his heart was a little different. He didn't want to run away. He said, actually, let me see what they're all about. And he took a book from them. And of course, in due course of time, he joined. His wife joined, and now he's one of the sannyasis and spiritual masters in the society. You may have guessed who it is. but he specifically mentions that the name of God has such importance. It purifies. We may not realize it. It's called Shabda Brahma. Just like ordinary sound affects matter. Isn't it? An opera singer can break glass through singing in a certain pitch. Sound can affect matter. We can hear up to 2,000 cycles per second. But above that we can't hear. Above 10,000 we can't actually perceive it. But dogs and cats, they hear up to 60,000 cycles per second. That's why you have a dog whistle. Dogs will run when they hear it. Dolphins and whales hear up to 100,000 cycles per second. But you can't perceive it. So sound can affect matter in a certain way, or certain individuals. So similarly, the holy name of Krishna can affect the soul, can affect the consciousness. And that's the process which is mentioned in Bhagavan Iti Shabdyate. That the principle of Krishna, the Supreme Person, definitely will affect our hearts. When Jaidvaita Swami was asked once, what do you have to give up to come to Krishna consciousness? He gave it, you know, because we're all thinking, well, there's a lot of new people here as well. And we think, what do we have to give up? The only thing you have to give up is just give up suffering. That's all. Just give up suffering. Then you come to Krishna consciousness. Because all the other things are actually going to bring you suffering. They're going to bring you suffering in one form or the other. The principle of Krishna consciousness, of course, is just ending on a couple of stories, because people like stories rather than philosophy too much. Bhagavan iti shabdyate is an important principle that often the impersonalist will argue, or the yogis will argue, that what is this devotional aspect, devotional service to God, that if you serve God, He'll provide everything. So once one devotee was giving a lecture, and an impersonalist was sitting there, and the devotee said, if God wants you to fast, because He's controlling everything, if God wants you to fast, and you decide, I'm going to eat on that day, you'll fast. And if God wants you to fast, and you want to eat all day, you'll fast. So he thought, that can't be true. And that's coming from the bhakti school of thought. That can't be true. So the man said, I'm going to prove him wrong. So the man decided that tonight I'm going to fast for 24 hours. God can't stop me from fasting. So he hid on a tree so no one could find him in the forest. And he sat there, and 23 hours had gone. And he said, there you are. I wanted to fast, and I fasted. Just then, in the middle of the night, some pilgrims arrived at the bottom. And the pilgrims were having a picnic. And they had lovely items of samosas, kachoris, maybe some pizzas like we're having today. All these items were there, and the man was thinking, 23 hours, one more hour to go, I'm not going to give up fasting. I'm going to prove the others wrong, that devotee wrong. So the pilgrims were eating, and then all of a sudden dacoits arrived. So the pilgrims ran, leaving the prasadam, all their belongings. And the dacoits said, wow, this is a good one. Not only have we got all the wealth, but we've even got our evening meal here. So the head of the dacoits said, there's a problem here. Why would they run off and leave all their belongings and even leave their evening meal? Maybe it's all poisoned. It's all poisoned, and they want us to eat it. So when we die, they come back and get all their things. So they were looking around. Is there anyone around? And they looked at the top of the tree, and this guy was hanging off the branch, fasting. So they said, there's one of the pilgrims. They brought him down. And they said, why did you leave all of this food? He said, no, I didn't leave it. I'm fasting. I said, fasting, okay. 23 hours and 59 minutes had gone, and they held him down and they started feeding him the samosas. If God wants you to eat and you want to fast, you will eat. The bhakti school of thought. Bhagavan iti shabdyate. And of course, Krishna is accessible only through his devotees, as the bhakti school of thought is speaking, that each one of us has access to Krishna, not directly, through his name, through his deities, but we will have access to him through his devotees, just like electricity is everywhere in this room. But I can only access it through the plug, the socket. So Krishna is everywhere, but he's accessible through his devotees. And that's why we're all here together. Through devotees, Krishna becomes accessible to each one of us. In one of our temples once, and ending on a note, that Prabhupada is always saving us. And he's made Krishna accessible to each one of us. That dacoits ran into the Bhagavatam class. We're having Bhagavatam class, you can imagine. And a number of dacoits ran in into the temple room, and they had AK-45s with the machine guns. And they'd come to rob the temple. And they said, everyone down on the floor. Of course, they're nearly all on the floor anyway, so it was quite easy to go on the floor. And three of the thieves with the machine gun went up to the right side of the room, just like we have here. And they said, "You as well, on the floor." It was the D.T.A. Prabhupada. Because they'd never been. They said, "You as well, on the floor, or we'll shoot." And they kept on shouting, "You as well, on the floor, we'll shoot." And of course, the Murthy wasn't moving. And the dacoits all looked at the others. And they all became extremely frightened, thinking, "This man is not moving at all." And they all ran off. Because if you oppose the dacoits, they're going to get worried. They said, "This man is fearless. He's not listening to us." So, as we say, Srila Prabhupada is always saving us. He's always saving us, even in the Bhagavatam class. Gaura Premanandi. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Bhaktivinda ki.